Good morning, church. If I haven't met you before, my name is Blake, and I'm your host this morning. If you're new with us today, or it's been a while since we've seen you, we want you to feel at home and know that you can be very comfortable and relaxed. We're so glad to have you with us today. For our church is so much more than a Sunday service. We want you to know that there's a place for you at church in Toronto. One of the best ways that you can get connected is after the service to come and introduce yourselves to one of the leaders or to fill in a connect card, which you can find on the table just outside the hall. We'd love to meet you, get to know you better, and once again, thank you for coming. One thing that we truly value at Church in Toronto is community. And whether this is your first time at Church in Toronto or it's been your home church for years, the best way to get connected with others in the church family is to start meeting through our community groups. These are so much more than just quick chats or handshakes. These are groups where you can really get to know people and develop lasting friendships. I would like to ask Del Martin to stand up. If you're interested in joining a community group, please come and see Del. He can give you more information and get you connected into the group that's right for you. Thanks, Del. If you came prepared to give today, there's a number of different ways you can do that. There's the box just outside the rear door to the left at the top of the stairs. Or you can try the new online methods. I can attest the online method couldn't be simpler. I tried it a week ago. It's quicker than writing a check. And I'm sure texting is even better. Maybe that'll be the next time. I'll try that one. If you're new, do not feel any obligation or any pressure to give. We're just very glad that you're here with us today. Christmas Eve, the 24th of December, there's going to be Church in Toronto Christmas events. There's going to be two services, one at 11 a.m. and one at 7 p.m. And you're going to hear a little more detail on that a little bit later this morning. Now I'd like to welcome Del Martin to the stage to say a couple of words.
So this morning we wanted to let you know that one of our founding members, Colin Cree, had passed away this past Friday. We have a picture, I believe. Colin and Joy, together with two other couples, began meeting here 50 years ago this past September. The other two couples moved to Vancouver over 30 years ago, but Colin and Joy remained here and have been with us ever since. I think we can consider them as pillars of the church. Colin was a grandpa to many people here, especially the young people. He and Joy took a great interest in young people, especially when they were in college age and after. They took a keen interest, always caring for many. They encouraged them, prayed for them, supported them, no matter where they were on the globe. So we're sad that he's gone, but we're comforted also that he's no longer suffering. The last few months have been very difficult because of his illness. And today we're relieved and grateful that he's with the Lord. So today is visitation at the R.S. Kane Funeral Home from 2 till 4 and from 6 till 8. And tomorrow the funeral will be there as well at 1:30 p.m. Let's pray. Lord, we have mixed feelings. We're sad and we're joyful. We thank you for somebody who gave their life to you, who loved you and served you to the end of their life, especially caring for people, caring for the youth in our church. Lord, we thank you for such a pattern of somebody, even in their old age, pursuing you, studying your word together with others. Lord, we're thankful, we're grateful in the midst of our sorrow. Be with the family, Lord. Be with Joy. Be with her two sons, Andrew and Jonathan, their wives, Donna and Karen, their two grandchildren, Matthew and McKenna. Support them with your steadfast love in these days. We ask all of this in your dear, loving, and precious name. Amen. Now I'd like to ask, Nigel's here, good.
Ago for several years, Colin was the one who went around and counted you. So you counted for Colin, and you were counted by Colin. So I think we have good recollections. If Colin was here, he wants us to be joyful to remember him this morning. We're going to continue now. We have a little bit of time. We're going to continue with our series on Psalms. We're doing today. We come to this section, Psalms of Ascent. Psalms of Ascent. To ascend is to go up, to go upward. And there's 15 psalms. We're not going to cover them all. 15 psalms, starting with number 120, that we believe were used in the ancient Israel as they assembled, as they gathered in Jerusalem for festivals, for a time of joy, rejoicing. As they went, they sang and sang these psalms. So we're going to cover them this morning. I asked Christine to read. I don't think she's made it. That's TTC. So we got a stand-in, Shirley, who needs no introduction. Shirley, who's been my wife for 40 years. It's going to read Psalm 120, 121, and 122. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Psalm 120, a song of ascent. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Lord, rescue me from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. What misery that I have stayed in Meshech, that I have lived among the tents of Kedar. I have dwelt too long with those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Psalm 121, a song of ascent. I lift my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. Your protector will not slumber. Indeed, the protector of Israel does not slumber or sleep. The Lord protect you. The Lord is a shelter right by your side. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all harm. He will protect your life. The Lord will protect your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Psalm 122, a song of ascent. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet were standing within your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city, should be solidly united, where the tribes, the Lord's tribes, go up to give thanks to the name of the Lord. This is an ordinance for Israel. There, thrones for judgment are placed, thrones of the house of David. Pray for the well-being of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls, security within your fortresses. Because of my brothers and friends, I will say, may peace be in you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will pursue your prosperity.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we're covering these. We're going to cover these three psalms. I'd like to give you one word for each. Psalm 120 is discontent. Psalm 121 is departing. Psalm 122 is arriving. Okay, discontent, departing, arriving. Then if you continue in the, if you read this set of Psalms, of course, 123, 124, continue. There's progression there. Okay, so we have these set of Psalms. This is a mini collection within the 150 books of Psalms. This is the most well-defined group of Psalms, which were obviously grouped together, and they're all given the same title as a set that go together. Each one is a song of ascent, a song of going up, going upward, right? And you could, the last psalm we had talked about the tribes going up. Here we have a little, right? You go up. Jerusalem, if you're in the land of Israel, Jerusalem is at a high point on the hills. So where whatever direction you come from, you end up going up a lot of the time. So it talks about going up to Jerusalem. You always go up, right? So we're going to cover these three psalms. I think, you know, today we don't go on a pilgrimage, right? We don't go to Mecca. We don't go to Jerusalem. We don't go to some other place. But yet in our life, we are on our spiritual life. We are on a journey. Actually, humanly, we all journey through time, journey through life. And spiritually, each of us is on a journey with God, right? Hopefully. And hopefully we're on a journey that is going up. I think if you don't have God in your life, I'm afraid that your direction of travel is not upward. Your direction of travel is more likely to be downward, right? But if we have God in our life, then we have a way for us to rise up, to go up in many different ways, including ethically, morally, humanly, to go upward and in our experience with God. So that's covered in this these sections. So I've got a couple of quotes to bring this out from different people, scholars. Okay, the first one is from David Klines, Old Testament professor. He writes this: the Psalms of Ascent, these Psalms describe the stages of a pilgrimage, a journey, a spiritual journey, right? Psalms of Ascent describe the stages of a pilgrimage from the decision to go up to Jerusalem, decision, that's Psalm 120, to the departure after the festival, 134, right? There's another quote. That's Old Testament. That was for Israel. For them, it was not only a spiritual journey, it was a physical journey. For us, it's the spiritual side. I have a quote, another quote for you related to Christian. The Christian life is a climb. The Christian life is a climb. It's progressive. It's a journey of constant growth. We are pilgrims. We're pilgrims. That is what? People on a journey with God, toward God. We are pilgrims, always moving and always learning. The Psalms of Ascent were sung by worshipers as they made the journey up to Jerusalem, right? So actually, we can sing many of these. We're on a journey. Okay, so let's think about that. Psalm 120. If you read it, if you have this idea of journey, you read it, it doesn't seem to fit. What's going on, though, is what motivates people to take a spiritual journey? It is discontent, right? So that psalm starts out, Psalm 120, verse 1, starts out, in my distress, I called out to the Lord. In my distress, in my discontent, in my disturbance, in my trouble, I called out to the Lord and he answered me. Here's the prayer. Rescue me, Lord, rescue me, deliver me from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. What misery that I've stayed in Meshech, that's a place away from Israel, that I've lived among the tents of Kedar, another place away from Israel. I have dwelt too long with those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. I'm for peace. I talk about it. They're for war. They're for hostility. They're not for peace. Okay, here's the situation. I like to just give you this word. Discontent. Discontent. Are you content? When you think about, when you read the news, hear the news, hear what's going on, are you happy? Does that make you happy? Is most news good news? I think a lot of it is not. We read, we hear stuff, read stuff, right? It does not, right, make us more comfortable. It makes us less comfortable. It is, right? And that's a good feeling, to feel that, no, this is not right. This is not good. This is not the way things ought to be. This is not the way I want things to be. That kind of discontent, discomfort is a motivation to begin a journey with God, right? So, you know, so if you think about society, think about the last weeks and months, what has happened? I'll tell you one thing that's happened. A lot of scandal. Think about Hollywood. Scandals. Actors. Directors. Producers. Right? Think about media. Same thing. Politicians. This thing is touching different areas. A lot of scandals. You know, outwardly. Think about Hollywood. What's their big event? The Oscars. At the Oscars, every actor, the guys wear the perfect tuxedo, the ladies wear the beautiful gown, everybody, these are all the beautiful people. Everything looks so perfect, so right. Then you find out, we found out in the last months, behind that outward facade of beauty presentation, there's something very ugly gone on. A lot of exploitation, a lot of harassment, a lot of impropriety, a lot of improper things, right? There's a lot of revulsion from people. There's a reaction. No, this is not the way things ought to be, right? And it's affecting politicians, media, etc., right? To have that kind of reaction in us is good. That's, you know, no. There's a facade. Behind the facade, things are not proper. Things are not right. I'm disturbed by the way things are shown to be, revealed to be. Think about when I speak peace, they are for war. Almost every day, there's this kind of talk, war, conflict. Is there... Let me ask you, do you think the likelihood of nuclear war is increasing or reducing? Think about it. Is it increasing or reducing? There's more talk. There's more escalation. The talk about war, conflict, even, right? It is 100 years since World War One. In World War One, 20 million people died. Is it 70 years, two generations, since World War II? World War II, 50 million people died. That's a lot of people. It hasn't happened in our generation, but the probability is increasing, right, for war. We should be disturbed. We should be affected. Lord, we want something else. We're made for something else. That kind of discontent can help us, motivate us on our journey toward God. Amen. Amen? Sometimes it happens in a person's life that things are, you know, things are comfortable, things are going well, then all of a sudden things get shaken up, and that becomes a motivation for somebody to seek after God. It's a disturbance, it's distress, it produces discontent, but it motivates people to begin seeking God, right? There's a book some of you are familiar with. It's now made into a movie. It's called A Case for Christ, Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel was an atheist. a vocal atheist, a convinced atheist. He was a crime reporter for the Chicago Tribune, a newspaper in Chicago. He reported on the crime. He was doing well in his career, you know, getting coverage, writing articles, front page, getting promotion. He had a wife, he had a daughter, right? Then something happened in his life that upset things, upset the status quo. I think we have a picture of him, at least from the movie. What happened? His wife, you can watch the movie, no spoilers. His wife met Jesus. He's an atheist. His wife, suddenly to him, she became religious. And she told him, "This is the most real thing I ever happened." He said, I'm a reporter. I need the facts. I go on facts, not feeling. You're telling me about stuff I can't see." He was disturbed. He went to the church and told the lady who's helping his wife, "I want my wife back." Right? Before, you know, she was a certain way. Now he felt my wife has changed. Before, now she's become religious. Right? That disturbance in his life motivated him, was the catalyst for him to begin to seek after God. Amen? He began a journey. He began a journey of investigation into, is this real? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? Is it possible? Right. He began it. And that actually this book and the movie tells you, okay, goes through some of his investigation. Eventually, he himself met Jesus Christ and became a Christian. Amen? Amen. But in the beginning, right, was discontent, disturbance that motivated him. So think about your life. Think about your life. Maybe some things are happening in your life, a little bit disturbing, a little bit upsetting. Maybe that can be a motivation to you to begin to seek God. Maybe you've been a Christian for quite a while, but maybe you've kind of plateaued. Maybe things are just kind of routine. But maybe there's some disturbance, something happening in your life around you would cause you, motivate you to seek God more. Right, to take another step with him, to continue that upward climb, progress. Amen? Okay, so that Psalm 120, what is it? It's, you know, somehow I'm not comfortable in this society. I'm not comfortable with the way things are. So I'm motivated to seek. I'm motivated to get into the Bible. I'm motivated to listen to more Christian messages. I'm motivated to come to Christian meetings. I want to find this God, find more about Jesus Christ so he can do more in my life, right? Motivation to begin the journey. Okay, Psalm 121 begins this way. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That's a declaration. Those verses are a declaration. I lift up my eyes. Most versions say like this. I lift up my eyes to the mountains or the hills. Question, from where does my help come from? Answer, my help comes from the Lord. There's a definite answer. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Where does your help come from? Where does your help come from? Yes, we're all journeying. We're all going through life. Are you going through life alone? Are you traveling alone? How's it going? How's it working out? Or we can go through life with someone who's the maker of heaven and earth. Amen? That's the best helper. The best protector, the maker of heaven and earth, right? Just a little bit about this psalm. Okay, so here's a couple of quotes. Here's one. Let me see. I think I have the one. Okay, let me just say, okay, other We have the usual translation. Let me present you with a little bit different translation. I think gets more to the point. Same verse. This is the Living Bible. It says this: "Shall I look to the mountain gods for help?" Question: "Shall I look to the mountain gods for help?" No. "My help is from the Lord who made the mountains and the heavens too." It's actually not continuous. I look to the hills, mountains. From where does my help come from? Comes from the Lord. Mountains, Lord, about the same thing. No. Here it's presented as a contrast. Should I look to the mountains for help? Is that where help is coming from, the mountains? Or is help coming from God, who is the maker of heaven and earth? Where's your help coming from? Where's your help coming from? Right? The Message says, "I look up to the mountain." Here's a traveler. "I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains?" No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and the earth and the mountains. Where's your help coming from? A lot of people on earth looking at a lot of different places. In the ancient times, the Old Testament talks about the high places. People worshipped other gods, the gods of the mountains, the gods of the storm gods, war gods, different kind of gods. The pagan gods were in the mountains. They had a little in the hills. They had the high places were the places to worship other gods. The God, the Creator, was not worshipped on any or every mountain. He was only worshipped one place, right? On earth today, different people worshipping different things, different gods, on different places. Some worship Buddha, some worship Allah, some worship other things. They're looking other places for help. Where's your help? Our help is from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Who's your God? Who's your God? Give you an interesting case. Harvey Weinstein, leading figure in the Hollywood scandal. He's about to get fired by his own company, by his directors. He sends out an email, asks people to support him, asks directors to support him. And he says this: "I just need a little time. I can do some therapy. I can take some counseling. Then I will resurrect myself." You get it? I need a little bit of time off. I can do some heavy therapy, take some counseling, and I can return and resurrect myself. Who's his God? Who's his God? Self. The only person who resurrected from the dead was Jesus Christ. God raised him from the dead. God is a God of resurrection. You cannot resurrect yourself. And he cannot resurrect himself. Amen? That's your God. If your God is yourself, you're in trouble. We need help. But our help is from our God, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen? So each one of us, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, if you're here, you need to have the assurance, my help comes from the Lord. From God, the maker of heaven and earth. We shouldn't be vague or general, and just say, "Oh, other people believe in God, but I'm not sure." No, we can be sure there is a God who made heaven and earth and everything. This God is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of David, and the God of Jesus Christ. And the God who came in the person of Jesus Christ, who lived on this earth, died on the cross, resurrected from the dead, and ascended, this is God. Who's your God? God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, God of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's my God. Who's your God? Who's your helper? Who's your protector? Amen. This God. Amen. I like it. Amen. My help comes from the Lord. Right? And then he will help you, guide you, protect you. This is, you know, this is practical. Right? When I was a student, the first time I left England, the first time I flew on an airplane, I had one little bag. I packed my bag, got on an airplane. That's the first time I left England. The first time I got on an airplane. The first time I went to a foreign country. I arrived in Chicago. I only knew one person. That was a good experience to know. God is my protector. God is my helper. I got to Chicago. You know, I was this foreign student who doesn't know what's going on. They assigned me to a residence, right, on the edge of campus. That's Chicago, South Side, rough neighborhood. Okay, I went there. People told me, oh, when you go home at night, walk down the center of the street. I said, why would I walk down the center of the street? They said, oh, because when, you know, if you get killed, people can find your body. I said, what? Where am I? You know, I'm this student from, you know, I'm this foreign kid from Britain. So, okay, I believe anything. That's a lot of prayer. Amen. But I can say, God was my protector. God was my helper. The God who made heaven and earth. He was there. Amen. Right? We don't have time. I can, you know, another time. All right. God is my helper. The same God is your helper. Amen. Whatever you pass through. Okay. So we're going up. We're going up to Jerusalem as they were the God who made heaven and earth. Right? Okay, we're arriving. Psalm 122 is about arriving. It goes like this. Shirley read it for us. I rejoice when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I rejoiced. I rejoice when they, other people, said to me, let us go. Go where? Go to the house of the Lord. At that time is the temple. Where's the temple? Jerusalem. Right? But I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And then they're going up, right? Our feet, okay, they arrive. Our feet are standing within your gates, Jerusalem. Eventually they arrive at Jerusalem. You know, it's good to be a Christian. It's good to know God. It's good to have Jesus Christ as our protector. But let me ask you, maybe you know people, maybe you've been that kind of person. You walk alone. Are you a Christian? Yes. Are you on a journey? Yes. But you're on a journey alone. I think we have a picture, somebody alone. Yeah, that's you. There's something better than this psalm. Yes, Psalm 120 is kind of individual. Psalm 121 actually includes others praying and blessing the one departing, if you look at it carefully. Psalm 122 says, it brings in other people to help, other people to encourage. They say what? Let us go. Let us go. It's better than, is it good for you to go? Yes. For you to say, I'm going is good. I will go. I'm going. What is better for you to say or for others to say to you, let us go. Let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. In English, this kind of verb tense is called cohortative. My goodness, let's learn some English. This is cohortative. What's cohortative? It's not I go, it's not I am going, it's not you are going, it is let us go. Let's go together. That's the cohort is you and the group you're with. You go together. Let us go to the house of the Lord. Right? That's what you have here. And actually in Hebrews, Royce has a class on Hebrews. Hebrews has the same kind of thing. Let us go. Let us. Let us consider one another. Let us exhort one another. Let us remind one another. Let us come forward. Let us. What is the church? Amen. It's let us. What is the community group? It's let us. It's the chance for us, not just you, not just me, not just individuals. It is let us go. Let's go on this Christian journey, on our journey with God, for God, toward God. Let us go together. So here, I was glad when they said to me, I rejoiced. Let us go to the house of the Lord. Some others are encouraging the writer. Let's go. Let's go together. Let's go to the house of the Lord. And they go together. There's a whole nother dimension of the Christian life, not just individual, but going together. How about we have a time when we encourage? You know, it's good you came today. Did you encourage anybody else? Did you invite anybody else? Then that's the encouragement. Maybe you were invited. Let us go. You know, the other Wednesday night, Alex has a home meeting in Scarborough. I go. Very good. This last Wednesday, I got a phone call. I will pick you up. David called me up and said, I will pick you up at 7:20. We'll go together. Amen. What is that? Let us go. Let us go to the community group. Let us go to this home gathering, whatever you want to call it. Let us go together. Right? So when we come together, amen? The gathering in Israel was a gathering of different tribes, different clans, different groups. Yeah, it was the 12 tribes of Israel. Today, God has people from every tribe, every tongue, every language, every nation. He's gathering people. Yes. Right? We're all qualified. That's why Toronto's so great. We have different people, different tribe, different tongues, different language, different background, different whatever. We come together. God is gaining a people. Let us go together. Amen. Amen? Can you invite? Will you invite? Right? We're going to have an event. This time of year is good. I think Sylvia should come up. She's going to encourage us. Thank you. Okay, let me just pray, and then Sylvia is going to give you the practical application of let us. Okay, so let's pray. Lord, we thank you. God, we thank you for what you've done in each of our life. Lord, even when you kind of disturb things, you shook things up so that we would seek you. Lord, we thank you, looking back, for your mercy and grace that you caused us to seek after you. Lord, thank you. You've been involved in our lives. Lord, we thank you. We know where to look. We don't look to the mountains. We don't look to other gods. We're not looking to Buddha or Confucius or anybody. Lord, we're looking to you. God, our Father, the maker of heaven and earth, is our guide, is our helper, is our protector. So we pray, bless everybody here through this week. Day by day, as we go to work, go to school, take care of our families, bless us, protect us, and lead us on this journey toward you, and bless our gathering together. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Okay.
Thank you. Everybody. Good morning. My name is Sylvia. If I haven't met you yet, I'd love to meet you. We're just so happy for Church in Toronto on a Sunday morning. And we are so, so excited for Christmas coming up. Can we just, yeah, can we get excited about Christmas? Woo! So, it's not that Christmas hasn't happened before. It's not that, you know, Christmas happens every year. It's not Christmas that hasn't happened here. But this year, we're really, really excited for Christmas. And so, we're excited to celebrate Christmas here at Church in Toronto. The first thing that I'm going to talk to you about three things this morning. I'm going to talk to you about the invitation cards. I'm going to talk to you about two services, and I'm going to talk to you about our Facebook event. So the first thing I want to talk to you about are the invitation cards. So they look like this, and if you haven't seen it already, they're right in front of you, if you haven't taken it already, on the chair pocket. So could everybody just grab one? For those who are in that first row in the back, sorry, there's no chair in front of you. Could everybody grab their invitation card and just hold it up for a second? I should have one, but I don't. Yes. Okay, cool. Aw, thank you. All right, so everybody has one? Yes? If you don't have one, our ushers will be handing them out to you outside, and there are some on the table, our Connect table right outside. I want you to hold on to this invitation card for just a moment, and we want you to think of one person. So Nigel spoke to us about being an inviter, and we're not, you know, making a call to invite 5 people. We're not saying 10 people. Maybe bring your whole family. That's cool. But think of one person. If you know their name, think of their name. If you can't remember their name, think of their face. Does everybody kind of have one person in mind? All right, so we want to pray. We want to invite you to take this invitation card, pray over the card, and give it to that one person that you're praying for. So just one. It's not that hard. It could be your neighbor. It could be a colleague. It could be a stranger. It could be your best friend or even your brother or family member. And this Christmas season, Church in Toronto, we really believe in the power of prayer. And in Matthew 7:7, it says, if we ask according to his will, you will receive. So we're really believing in the power of prayer for one person. And we're really excited to have this place packed and filled. And so this could mean that it's people who don't know Jesus. It could mean people who do, who are just distant and haven't gone to church in a while. And it could mean people who haven't even stepped foot in a church. So we want to think about anybody and everybody who we can invite to church this Christmas. All right, and so with the power of one, if every person in the room invites one person, we're a little full. All right, so, and our services are going to be family services, which means that we want all families to be together, which already means that we might be full. So this is why we're going to be pushing two services. So the second thing I want to talk to you about is two services, one at 11 a.m. and one at 7 p.m. And so the power of one person is going to bring us way beyond our capacity, which is why we thought, well, let's have two. So could we just have a general sweep of the room? Who is considering coming to 7 p.m.? 7 p.m. All right, that's pretty good. Hey, okay, can I see the hands up high? Up high? All right, so that's pretty good. That's really exciting. Can we give a round of applause for those who are coming to 7? So we're really excited that we're having two services, but what this means for us as a church is that we need both services to be packed and full. So we know that means for those who are used to coming at 11, this might mean shifting your schedule a little bit and coming at 7. This could mean that you come to both. We'd love for you to come to both. If you have friends who can only come to 11 a.m. though, don't worry about it. Come at 11. We'd love to have them here. And what this also means though, because we have two services, is that we're going to have tons of people in church and we're going to need all hands on deck. So I'm going to just ask for Kristen to stand up and Matthew. So if you are at all interested to help volunteer on Christmas Eve, we would love to have you come and help us with volunteering. And so after our service is done, just find Kristen and Matthew, and they'd love to get you connected with volunteering. And what this means, thank you guys. And what this means is that we're not asking you to volunteer for both services. We're actually saying, hey, come to one, come be here, come be part of the family, and then come serve or volunteer at the other one. Sound good? Yeah. All right. Okay, so the last thing we want to talk to you about is our Facebook event. So our Facebook event, we're going to walk you through it because it's a little For those who are tech savvy, you can figure it out, but we want to walk you through how to tell us which service you're coming to, and we want to know which service you're coming to. So this is what the Facebook event looks like when you get on Facebook. It's called Christmas at CIT. And so there's an interested button, but what we want you to do is actually go and click on the service that you're interested in. So say you're interested in 7 p.m. You're going to go and click on the 7 p.m. You're going to get into the 7 p.m. page, which looks very similar. But what you're going to do then is you're going to click on going, okay? And then that lets us know which service you're going to. So we would love for you to use Facebook, invite your friends, invite your family, invite everybody. If you think that they're interested in one particular service, just invite them on the one service time. And we also will have, if you need it, we'll post it on our Facebook event. We have PDF versions of it so that those who can't use Facebook at work, you can go and send the PDF around to your colleagues. All right, so that's everything I have for you today. And that's everything we have for Christmas. So three things. The first is that invitation card. And actually, I'm going to add in one thing. If you haven't seen it outside yet, we have these really, really big chalkboards. Does everybody know the chalkboards outside? And on them right now, it says, Christmas at CIT, I'm inviting. And we actually went ahead and our young people last night, Church in Toronto Youth City, and we asked them to consider the same thing. Think of one friend, one person that you want to invite. And so church, what we want to do is stand together as a church. And if you have a name or even you want to put their relationship, so if it's my brother or the guy sitting in the cubicle next to me, and you want to put that on the blackboard, we want to see those names so that as we look at those chalkboards, we can stand together as a church and pray for each other's friends. So those names that you see on the chalkboard already, those are friends and people that our youth have in mind. So would you pray for them? But also we want to know who you're inviting. We want to know who we can pray for and how we can support each other in prayer. All right. So sorry, let me go back. Three things. Invitation card. Think of one person. Second thing, two services. Please consider and pray to come to our 7 p.m. if you aren't usually, if you are coming to the 11 a.m., come for 7 p.m. Bring your family, your friends. And the third thing is our Facebook event. All right, that's everything this morning. We would love to see you again next week, and we hope you have a great Sunday.